foreclosure gate snags another major bank.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Wells Fargo says it's going to refile paperwork for 55,000 foreclosures. The bank says it's found problems with the documents, but it's not going to issue a blanket moratorium on foreclosures like Bank of America did briefly. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington to talk about Foreclosure Gate and a new report on foreclosures that's out today. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So how are all the paperwork problems we've been learning about and now this new news from Wells Fargo affecting the overall rate of foreclosures?
Well, Jeremy, there will probably be a temporary decrease in the number of foreclosures in the last quarter of this year, but they're going to go back up once the paperwork is refiled. Wells Fargo and all the other banks say they're just having problems with the documentation.
So even if we get a brief reprieve, you're saying things will get worse eventually?
Yes, unfortunately. Foreclosures are expected to be back up next year for a couple of reasons. Banks are going to be refiling that paperwork, and those foreclosures will go through, barring any more problems with documentation. But the biggest driver behind foreclosures next year will be the fact that adjustable rate mortgages are going to adjust upward. I talked to Rick Sharga about this. He's vice president of Realty Track, and they're issuing that report on foreclosures today that you mentioned a minute ago.
When you think about the fact that a lot of these borrowers were only marginally qualified to begin with and would now be faced with paying $1,000 more a month on a property that's lost 30, 40, 50% of its value since the time they bought it, it's a pretty toxic mix.
And Jeremy, Sharga says foreclosures will actually peak next year. He says 2011 is going to set records for the number of foreclosures and bank repossessions of homes.
More trouble ahead. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, earnings are out today from Coinstar. Redbox is the company that Coinstar owns, and it's been adding thousands of those red DVD rental kiosks every month. So earnings are expected to be up from last year, and the distribution model is now attracting interest from public libraries. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
So I'm outside a 7-Eleven near my office. The red box vending machine says $1 DVD rentals. Swipe my card, pick a title, and go from there.
So it's even more convenient where the DVDs come in the mail because it's sort of instant gratification.
That's CNET executive editor Molly Wood, and she says vending machines are a natural fit for public libraries. Borrowers will jump at a service as convenient as Redbox and free. Libraries in Florida and Arizona are doing it. In Chicago, the library is exploring the idea of kiosks in transit stations, says spokeswoman Ruth Ledneiser.
You have kind of bestsellers, maybe some music CDs or some DVDs. You use your library card to swipe, and you return it to any of the branches.
CNET's Molly Wood would add one more thing.
A USB interface, and so you could plug in a Kindle or an iPad and download a digital book or check out a physical book. That would seem to be the killer app.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's check global markets. European markets are up about 1% right now. Asian markets are mixed. And it was a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday, too. The Dow fell 43 points to close at 11,126. Nissan shares fell briefly after the carmaker said it will recall more than 2 million vehicles because of a problem with the ignition systems.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
We are just 5 days away from Election Day, and in Florida, that means developers are rushing to file applications for new construction projects. That's because there's an amendment on the Florida ballot that would give citizens a say on development projects in their communities. From WMFE in Orlando, Tom Parkinson reports.
A Amendment 4 would give Florida voters a final say over any changes to their community's land use plans, and that has developers worried. The idea for the amendment surfaced last year. Since then, developers have filed twice as many applications for new construction. James Miller is a spokesman with the Florida Department of Community Affairs, which handles all development applications.
In our anecdotal conversations with planning officials at local governments around the state, the possibility of Amendment 4 passing was a common theme for the increase.
Supporters of Amendment 4 say it would put the brakes on suburban sprawl, but opponents argue it would cost taxpayers millions and drive away jobs. Wayne Garcia is with Hometown Democracy, a group promoting Amendment 4. He says Florida has a long history of development with little regard for environmental damage or the need for new roads or schools or other infrastructure.
If a project comes down the line and it goes through the entire process and it's not a good one, but because of political reasons, because of lobbyists, because of special interests, it gets approved, it's going to have one more step. And that added step is that the next election, the voters are going to vote on it.
Supporters say local governments will still have the final say over many, if not most, development projects. Any changes to the local comprehensive land use plans will have to go before voters. Ryan Houck is with Citizens for Lower Taxes and a Stronger Economy. He says Amendment 4 would require special elections at taxpayer expense.
There would almost certainly need to be special elections due to the volume of comprehensive plan amendments. Even if there aren't, delaying vital community needs like hospitals or schools for 2 years until a referendum can be held is extremely unworkable.
The $42 billion a year construction business is one of Florida's largest industries. In Orlando, I'm Tom Parkinson for Marketplace.
And finally, U.S. News and World Report has released a list of the meanest airlines in America. Think long lines, annoying fees, lost luggage, and general rudeness. Delta ranks number one thanks to its number one status in delays and customer complaints. United is a close second, and you won't be surprised to hear the rest of the pack is pretty close behind. You can see the whole list at our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
For most of us, it's like a bad dream from 1994, but slow internet is still reality in some parts.
It's chugging along.
I wouldn't call that chugging, Kathy. It's kind of creeping.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl. As banks drive accounts online, what does that mean for the internet have-nots? The story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.